had a rough week and all that. But, yeah, same thing with me. I mean, we got up. We knew it rained all night last night. It was storming and booming and everything else. I got up about 3:30, and I unplugged the radio. About an hour or so later, my daughter came in there. She was scared. She came in there in bed with us, and I never did go back to sleep. And I don't know. I guess I should have got up and played on HF, but I can't play up past 10 meters. I can listen, but so what at that point? So anyway, we just did what we did. But if I've learned anatomy out of the pieces of steak I like to eat. I never learned it anywhere. Was taught it. Just knowing where this stuff comes from. Boy, long bone-in ribeyes are just one of those pleasures in life that, and they're stupid expensive. And I don't do it often, about once a year. And whether I cook them or go to a restaurant that serves them. But I bought that slab of ribs, and I thought, man, if they would just let that other little chunk on the end, doubled or tripled the price, but I would have paid it. But they don't sell it that way.
Now, Roger. Ribeye's a good piece of meat if it's cooked right. And that's usually what I get when I go out to eat or even we cook out somewhere or you know, cook out at Dad's or something. That's usually what we go buy if we're buying steak is ribeyes.
Yeah, but they're not created equal. There's a, you know, if you buy an entire roast, which is nothing but ribeye steak, you're buying like 15 pounds of it. And I looked at one of those the other day, Saturday. It was the cheapest whole ribeye I've seen in a long time. And I was tempted. I just didn't want to cook 15 pounds of meat. I wanted some steaks, you know, pound a piece, you know, buy like six. But maybe I should have done it, just brought it home, cut it up myself, and then served the mistakes. Nobody would have known the difference. But, man, it was cheap at Winco, but, man, those things were huge, and I was like, but it ain't that bone-in deal. So what happens is the ribeye, right next to that, you got a tenderloin, and then you got that big rib that comes out for a rib. I mean, it's a rib on the cow. But, you know, when they dice it up in all the different pieces, they get more money out of that than they do serving the whole thing. But if you had your own cow and you're butchering the thing, the fact that you could have a ribeye steak, a piece of a tenderloin, and a rib all in one thing, it's pretty incredible when you think about it.
Yeah, Roger. Yep. Anyway. I don't know. I hope I get things squared away on this end soon. Because, it's like I went out to check my schedule today and it wasn't done yet. Manager took my number and said he'd take a picture of it, texted it to me when he got it done. They got it done, and well, I hadn't seen it yet.
KG5QZ. Well, hopefully he does pretty soon, because, yeah, really hard to, you're trying to work that and make a little bit of extra money and whatnot, supplement everything else. It's hard to do it one day a week.
Yeah, Roger. Well, I think they want me to quit. I'm not going to, unless I have another job to go to, which I ain't got right now.
Oh, I understand that. Growing up, I always had two or three jobs, and and doing what I got to do, and I don't have time for another job. So I don't know. It's one of those things, you know. My biggest thing, runoff and issues of drainage for water for my cousin, which it makes it worse as part of family, building something north of me. It's totally screwed up our way in and out every day, You know, we've lived out here for a while, about a decade, and unfortunately, I've never had to be muddy or anything else. And my wife texted me this morning, she said, this ain't going to work, and she's right. It's become too much, and as much as, like I said, we live on a gravel road, she shouldn't have to stand in mud unlocking and lock the gate, because we've never had that before.
I think I'm going to jump out of here and catch you tomorrow, maybe. KG5QZ, KG5CKK, 73.
All right, 73, Jeff. Funny, I should have mentioned it earlier, but yeah, I forgot the guy's name. Not the first two brothers started McDonald's, but the guy that took it over. I had a guy I was talking to today, and he had a buddy in the Air Force that was right there with him, burger flipping from day one, and they gave him an opportunity to come in on the thing, and no, he stayed with his Air Force job, and ever since then, they teased him for like the next 30 years that he would have been one of the partners in that deal, and I forgot his name, Whipple, Wapple, something anyway, basically kick him in the butt, because... He took the 40-hour week job, not the make something. But anyway, I thought it was amusing. And he knew a couple of the guys I knew that had a couple, and he knew a few other people I'd never met. I knew where their stores were when he told me where they were. But I thought that was a hoot, and all because Air Force, but not because of me, because of them. They're old. I mean, they're 20 years older than me. But anyway, it was kind of. It was an amusing roundabout today talking with him, and I thought, man, I could not imagine if you were actually one of the first fry cooks for McDonald's, in fact, and got offered, hey, we'll set you up somewhere in the area with a store just running. And, no, he wanted a paycheck and benefits.
Yeah, roger. Anyway, we will talk to you later, sir. 85 CKK.
All right, 73 Jeff, KG5KZ.